Is that right?
We'll be sure.
Almost.
It was worthwhile attending, Mike and I.
I joined my parents, tons of, it's a forum, online forum. Good thing. All right, I'd like to call a meeting to order and please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Grudge?
Here.
Needham?
Here.
Sansa?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Thank you. Well, thanks everybody for showing up. Our goal is to have an open discussion and anything and everything is open for discussion and debate on how we're going to handle the open space. So with that, Mike?
Well, hopefully everybody had a chance to pick up one of these little packets as you came in the door. They're right there on the table in the back there. And a lot of the information that we're going to go over and as a starting point is going to be included in here. The first thing I included is just a copy of an aerial photograph taken a couple years ago. Obviously it shows the little building that was on the site and the fence still shows in the, around the perimeter of the site at that time. But these, the red line is the property boundaries. It's approximately 4.5 acres. It contains about 600 feet of frontage on Lake Charlevoix. To the north, it abuts the city's main boat launch area. To the south, it abuts Honeywell. We've had people ask us about Honeywell, because obviously immediately south of Honeywell is the main city facilities complex, where the new city facilities building is going up, and then you've got Veterans Park and basically open space down to the intersection of Water and Lake Streets there at the Chamber of Commerce building. The city owns all that property in there. But the questions come up is, okay, well, geez, if you're able to acquire this, what's ever going to happen with Honeywell? And we've made it known to Honeywell that, one, we want to see those jobs stay in the community as long as possible, but two, if things ever change on that, that we would like an opportunity to acquire that property as well, too. So that's the first page of the document you have. Get to the second. Okay, so this is the packet you have. On the second page of the packet here, I provided a bit of a timeline on the history of the property to the best that we know. And some of these early dates are a little bit different. But originally, and I don't know if a lot of people knew this, but that we owned, the city of Boyne City owned the property. And then, I'm seeing conflicting data, whether it's 1953 or 1965, even though our title search shows 1965, the city sold the property for business development. Basically, so a factory could go on that site, which was common waterfront usage at that time before everything became more recreational. It was important that the city at that time when it sold the property inserted into the sales document a buyback clause. Basically, that property was never going to stop being used for industrial or manufacturing purposes. It was supposed to come back to the city. And we'll get back to that a little bit later. Then you can see a progression of owners of the property. It was sold in 1967, 1988, 1994. And 1990, in the 1990s, I don't have a specific date on that, we could track it down. Buckeye Investment requested the city to buy, to drop the buyback provision. And they basically promised the city that more jobs are going to be created if somehow the city freed them up and gave them more latitude to maneuver. The city did that, they trusted them, took out that provision, and not too long after that, within a year or two, the factory closed. You can put two and two together any way you want on that one. After the factory closed, the city made repeated offers and overtures to basically see if they could enter into discussions about buying that property from the people that had it. And those overtures were ignored. They did in turn sell it in 2005 to Devlon Properties Incorporated for redevelopment. And in the early 2000s, the site was approved for a combined hotel, condo, and marina development. I think it was supposed to have about 100 and a marina with about 111 slips for primarily very large boats in that location, and it would be about a four-story building. Moving forward with that plan, the factory was demolished, and then the infamous fence was erected. There's a photograph over there. I think it's the second one down on the left-hand side that shows the factory gone, still some of the utility poles on the site there. But at that time, they had a chain link fence before they put the wooden obscuring fence up. As we talked about at the waterfront site, in 2006, a waterfront master plan was developed, basically for all of the city-owned waterfront spaces along Lake Charlevoix. And at that time, with the Devlon site still being proposed for development, it just all it really showed there for we have park or public improvements were trails on the lake side and on the street side. A little bit later, around 2007, 2008, the economy tanked and the project stalled out, and nothing really further happened on that other than some lawsuits. In 2015, the property was sold. Headwater Properties, which was the subsequent name or entity that came after Devlon, sold the property to what's called 475 Lake Street LLC. And that's a partnership that involves Mr. Grove and Mr. Dow as the purchasers of the property. After they purchased the property, they started making overtures to a number of bodies to see who they might want to see if they can make a deal happen with that could basically help them guarantee that that property was going to become open space for the community going forward. Ultimately, they decided they wanted to work with the city of Boynton City. Shortly after their purchase and they went through that investigation, the city leased the property from them for a dollar a year, and as we mentioned, that's through December 30th of this year. The city cleaned up the property, the fence was removed, and was open to public before the 4th of July on that year as well, too. And I should mention, I do happen to have a copy of the waterfront master plan here, and hang on a sec, let me just look to something else here. Hopefully it'll open. Yeah. This is the plan that came up for the city's waterfront, at least that portion of the city's waterfront, or the waterfront master plan. This is the 2006 document I referred to earlier. This is the Devlon site, the open space that we were on earlier. Here's the city boat launch property. It showed a trail along the waterfront and a trail along this. Internal here, basically, it was kind of shaded over the photograph of the area that showed the old factory building there. It was just going to be whatever, it was going to be the site plan that Devlon had approved. Obviously, this is the Veterans Park area, somewhat reimagined. In this plan, the city had acquired, it assumed the city had acquired the Honeywell property and somehow and connected them. And then in that plan, it showed a new city hall facility being located on the waterfront at this location here. So that's not happening. It's obviously happening at that location. So, and anybody stop me if you got questions or comments along the way.
Mike, second question. Yes. The roadside along the open area, would that be part of that bike path that continues out toward 31?
Yes, that's the discussion. Matter of fact, we kind of had a discussion on that about a month ago with the city commission here. We were talking how to take the bike path from basically where it ends over here on West Michigan and bring them down in a series of trails using sidewalks or routes of various nature.
You come down Lower Lake now and right through that area, so
correct.
It's so close.
And we were talking about how we do that and how we would actually, you know, bring them across the, this property, the marina, excuse me, the boat launch property, and, you know, you bring them in the road, you bring them across the street. Ultimately, that's, you know, my personal view is at some point in the future, we may want to, we'll want to create a trail of some sort, sort of front, the back, or the middle, I don't know yet, that would link in and tie, give us a whole waterfront trail. But that's a detail we have yet to work out. Let's see, also in 2015, the city's recreation plan was adopted, and that included the goals of improving water access and improving public parks and spaces. So obviously the acquisition and improvement of that space would include, be included in that as well. And then also, and I believe it was towards the end of 2015, the unfinished building that was the only real structure of the deadline here to go up was removed by the property owner with the foundations removed by the city DPW crew. Early last year, just before the April 1st deadline, the city applied for a Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund grant to acquire the open space. We had the MDEQ conduct an environmental assessment on the site. Their overview to us was that no major problems were found. We just, as I mentioned on the waterfront site, we just received this plan late last, their complete study results late last week, and we're beginning to analyze that as well. And those are available for the public to review as well. Towards the end of last year, we approved the conservation easement that was requested by the property owners, and that protects the site as an open space. It also has some provisions as to what we can and can't do on that. A couple pages out of that 15-page document are shown on pages 4 and 5 of your materials. Then early this year, the Michigan National Research Trust Fund grant was approved. That pays for up to 74% of the $3.3 million cost. Now, exactly how much of that we get depends on the appraisals that are done on the property. We had one preliminary appraisal done that recorded the property at a $2 million value. That would get us about $1.5 million. We're gonna have additional appraisals done and determine what those values come in. Those were, the original was done a couple years ago, so the price has probably gone up, the economy stabilized, and we think that there may be some other factors to consider. You have to use a certain type of appraiser that's authorized by the state. Then about a month ago, and we received it just a couple weeks ago, a title search was done showing that if there's no issues with the chain of custody, that's one of the, like, the next steps that the state wants us to do with regards to the grant, with the appraisals being done now. Those are currently out for bid and will be, I think they're due back on the 24th. Then the City Commission at our budget work session discussed additional funding options, and at that time they were focusing on a millage request, and they called for the public meeting that we're having today. On pages 6, 7, and 8 of your information packet was background information that was provided to the City Commission, kind of looking at various funding options with regards to the project. And there's pros and cons that I established for each one of those. And basically, the gist of it is there isn't a real good source of money out of our existing budget to cover a $3.3 million purchase. There just, we don't have that type of money sitting around, and we probably shouldn't in the first place, unless you have it something scheduled for it. But without doing some significant changes to our existing programs and activities here in the city, the money just doesn't exist in the city's current coffers. Doesn't mean you couldn't potentially find it, but there'd be some consequences for that, and those are discussed under option A. The City Commission has the ability to increase its millage from its current 15.51 a little bit, and we figured that could probably go up to a half or a three quarters of a mil, and that would generate about a little over $100,000 per year. That doesn't require a vote of the public. Item C was basically, you know, basically ask the people if they think this is something that's worth raising taxes about. And as long as I've been with the city, people have said to told me, and I've heard it through others as well, that if ever there's an opportunity to acquire lakefront property, whether it's the open space or other properties, the city should go for it and try and find a way to do it. And this would be an opportunity to see how strongly people feel for that. So that's kind of the leading option, one of the leading options right now. And there doesn't mean that it has to be all one of these options or another. I can easily see some type of blended option with regards to it, where you take some, you take the grants we receive, you take some money out of the fund balance, you then go for a lesser amount of reward to people. Then if you flip to page 7, we put in a crowdfunding campaign. The state does provide some match money for that, but that's only $50,000, and that's a little drop in the budget, bucket with regards to the type of dollars we're looking at. That still could be part of a campaign. And then there's options with regards to how you structure whatever payments you have to make.
Where's the below D where it says cash payment, one-time payment?
Yes.
If it's $3.3 million and 74% of that would be $858,000, then what is the $1.7 million in the cash one-time payment? What would that be covering?
Where are you at again now? Okay, on page 7 in the middle.
Right.
That's the worst case scenario.
That was the worst case. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Mike, that's assuming that we don't find any other ways to lower the overall payment.
Well, you might just point, it's not the purchase price, it's the appraised price that the 74% goes for.
Gotcha, so the 3.3 isn't necessarily a factor.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and the worst case, under the best case scenario, let's say we got an appraisal that came in and said the property was worth $3.2 or $3.3 million. Then the nut that we have to crack is only $857,000. And that's obviously a lot easier nut to crack, and that, you know, it may change some of the options that we look at. That's why we're starting this discussion now. I mean, there's a big piece of it that we don't know. We have appraisals in place, but we felt it was important to start this discussion now and bring you along with us as we go forward. And people, I'm sure, will have additional ideas and thoughts that we should consider as well, too.
What's the time frame for the appraisal? Is the cost covered?
Excuse me?
Is the cost?
Yes, that is an eligible expense out of the grant funds with regards to it. I mean, we'll have to pay for that up front. But again, you know, that's, if you use that money for the purchase or for the appraisal, that's money that's not available for the purchase of the property as well, too. But that's out for bids right now. We have to hope that it'll be back on the 24th. We're hoping that the City Commission will be able to make a determination on that at their meeting on the 25th. And then at least hire one appraisal to be done at that time, see what the results are on that, and then determine if we need to go for another one.
No, go ahead and say.
I don't know if you want me to read a little.
No, this is informal, yes.
Chris?
Yeah, so is the purchase price set, regardless of what the, I mean, I understand the grant funding, but
yes,
is there a set purchase price number of X? So even if the appraisal comes in at 2.7 million, is the purchase price 3.3?
That is the assumption that we're operating with, and those are the preliminary discussions we've had with Mr. Grove and Mr. Dow. Correct.
Okay.
Their intention all along has been to basically acquire and tie up the property so the city could, the community could purchase it, and they just want to get out of it what they put into it.
Right.
So, I mean, they're, you know, might they change their mind or something like that, and, you know, raise or lower the price, you know, that's possible. I doubt they're going to raise it. Maybe some other discussions with regards to that.
I mean, the city's collecting about $60,000 in taxes off it right now.
Correct.
While they own it. So, you know, we have to factor that number into it. If we have to parlay this an additional year, that's another $60,000 cost that they have into the property.
They haven't indicated that they've been looking to recoup that at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm throwing it all on the table.
Yeah, no, that is a cost they are bearing every year. Correct.
Okay.
That 3.2 or 3.3 does not reflect a profit, nor does it reflect what they have into it. It's just a number that they're comfortable with.
Right.
Let's go here first, and I'll come to you, sir.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess he's deferred.
I guess I would just say, as a purchaser of anything, I would want to get the best price, and I would want to pay an appraised price. So I'm curious. Why we would pay whatever price they paid, not what it is valued at. As a buyer of anything, I would want to pay value. I don't care what the person before me paid for it.
And that was, I'm sure other people in the real estate market know what the previous owner of the property was trying to sell it for.
Right.
And
he paid 2.2 in 2005.
Yeah, and I think he was asking 8 or 9 or something. And there are all sorts of numbers floating over the place. You know, I believe they probably paid a premium to get that property into their hands and out of the other person's hands, and to give the community an opportunity to have it as public open space.
Right.
I mean, if you know, who knows what other, you know, everybody can think of what other scenarios came up with. And I guess that'll ultimately be the decision for the community as to, you know, what is its value worth. I agree with you 100%, Sarah, with regards to it. I think there's some unique factors with regards to this, including the previous owner. So let me go here for next.
You know, with the concept of highest best use for property.
Yes.
The fact that the vote's already been held relative to conservancy, so the highest best use wouldn't be condominiums. The highest best use would be as it is. And so would the comps be like the new park down on the road down on the way to 31?
No, not necessarily, because even though the city commission approved the conservation easement is in effect. It is not binding on that property at this time. Correct. So right now, its highest and best use is whatever the market would bear.
So Trump Tower going would be the highest best use based on economics alone?
Well, some type of a more dense development.
Yes. And a marina. Mm-hmm. A marina was approved for it, a 90-slip marina.
No, 111-slip.
Okay.
Yeah. And that approval is still valid out there, is my understanding. I don't think the extension that Devlon got has expired. So again, those are discussions we'll have with the appraiser. We want to make sure that whatever appraisal or appraisals are done meet all the state criteria, and we're going to make sure that these people are aware of all that information.
Again, given highest best use, even though it's not legally in effect until ownership is transmitted, highest and best use might be based on Down Grove saying, this is what you purchased the property for, it's not available for anything else. And so just there having said that, it seems like that would impact on the appraiser's comps.
And, yeah, I couldn't address that. I'm sure the appraiser will be dealing with those issues. Christy, do you have another comment?
Well, it's along those same lines. I mean, if they've already assessed a $2 million appraisal against it, the question was, did they apply the conservancy concept to the appraisal, or did it have its highest and best use in mind? And that's actually to your benefit to drive that question back to the appraiser, because if the appraiser took the conservancy into consideration, then the value may have been, you know, sold short, which would mean that your grant funding would be higher. If the true
highest use value,
it's all in house position, right? If the current owners don't sell it to the city, then we're going to develop it for X, which I know they haven't said, but I'm just saying,
yep.
From a strategic positioning, you would argue that if we don't sell it to the city for public use, then we have the opportunity to develop it. So appraise a value on this at its highest and best use, not what the city's going to value it at. You understand what I'm saying?
Which would be to our advantage.
It would be to your advantage, because it's driving the value of the property up, which would then make you eligible for 74% of whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Correct.
That they're trying to do. So I'm just saying whoever's in touch with the appraiser might want to drive that home a little bit.
Well, we want to make sure that the appraisal is done in a way that meets all the state criteria.
Understood.
And I understand exactly what you're saying.
I do appraisals every day that are met by the bank criteria, but I've had some pretty candid discussions that don't show up in the appraisal, but somehow seem to be considered when the options are laid out. So,
Mark?
Do you want me to address the first appraisal, or did you want to?
In what respect?
Chris wanted to know if some of these discussions took place, and does that reflect in that first appraisal?
No, they don't, because that appraisal predated any of those discussions.
Oh, okay. I thought you had an appraisal done since.
No.
Road. Okay.
We have not.
All right. I apologize. I thought that was, when you said that an appraisal had been done, I assumed that was with.
So that was early on.
Grove and Dow and all that.
That was, we okay. wanted
well,
something done.
That makes you feel better, to be honest with you, because I'm sitting here going, well, geez, go ahead, appraisal of $2 million. I mean, you know, we can massage some numbers, but, you know, you're not going to get to 3.5 after a $2 million. All right, so.
And again, that's a few years, that's a few years old.
I got it. Yeah. Perfect. That helps.
Yeah, I thought I got that.
But it was done after they purchased the property?
No.
No, prior to. It was done in 2014.
Mm-hmm. So it's a three-year-old appraisal at this point.
So it was done under the ownership of Mr. Beebe, or not?
I'm trying to remember the exact date of the acquisition.
Because we wouldn't have had an appraisal done if we didn't own it, or if he owned it.
Yeah, we didn't own it. Nobody.
So how did? Yeah, yeah. What's the timeline on that appraisal?
I thought it was after Mr. Dow and Mr. Grove purchased it, right after that.
I'd have to double check. I think you're right, but I'm not sure.
I think they used it as a tool.
As you say, it may have been a negotiating appraisal.
I think
right?
They.
So they've got their worst case appraisal versus his high case appraisal to negotiate to a common number.
I don't think that was the case, but yeah. I think we're getting into the weeds a little bit. But we could find out the time on that. But it was done prior to any discussion of the conservation easement or any of that type of stuff. Mm-hmm.
So recognizing that there's an opportunity to use a variety of methods in combination to meet the $1.69 million, if you only chose to go for bulk millage, what would that translate to, that $1.7
million? We figured it's less than a mil, probably about 3/4 of a mil, something in that range. Okay.
For 10 years or 20 years?
I don't know.
Well, it's 160,000, it's 1 mil. So 3/4, you're at 120. Yeah. If I'm a realtor, you can do this.
10 years, 1.2 million, not including interest. So.
Not including interest, so it'd be more than 10.
15.
Right.
Yeah, it would be about 15, because a 15-year at 170,000, 1.7 million at 3% was a payment of about 141,000 a year, so that's a little less than 1 million.
Mm-hmm. What does that translate to for the average homeowner per year, say for a $200,000 house?
Just get my little
as a ballpark.
Trying to do that in my head.
Can you run some of those numbers?
About 20.
On here?
20, 30 bucks.
They're not on here, but if you.
No, back when we talked about this.
Yeah.
About a month ago.
I don't have that.
Because I think that would probably be a good a good number to have. So the average homeowner.
When you say $200,000 house, you mean a $200,000 net taxable value or $100,000?
$100,000 taxable value,
yeah.
Yeah. $75 a year.
$100,000 taxable value, $75.
$75 a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Per year. True.
Right. Okay.
And I want to be careful that we don't get locked in with any of those types of numbers.
No.
Because we
no,
haven't talked about any type of amount that we're looking at. We're just talking about possible.
I'm just looking at a ballpark kind of idea.
That's a ballpark number of what a 3/4 of a mil for a $200,000 house would generate.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether that equates to where we end up here, we don't know.
And worst case scenario, too.
What's that?
And
that's the worst case scenario, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's assuming that we don't. Because again, we got a couple things that are going to be happening. One, we're going to get the appraisal. More appraisals done, and we'll find out exactly, or get a better feel for exactly what the nut is that we have to crack. We'll have our city audit that's done this summer. That'll give us a better feel for exactly, okay, how much do we have in our fund balance that we could release, if any. The city commission has a policy of maintaining a 25% fund balance, and that's worked out real well for helping us obtain grants and to make sure that when the times get bad, we didn't have to really take a hacksaw to city operations. So that'll be another important piece of information that'll come forward. Hopefully that'll come in better than we think it will, but we can't assume that would be the case.
Can I write something on your notepad?
I just had one thought, and then we're in Door County having breakfast at a place, a resort area. Big, you know, high season, similar to us, you know, high season, low season. And got the breakfast bill, and on the bottom of it, it said 1% added to fundraising for the community center. And I thought, well, gosh, that is really a brilliant idea. And it said, you can ask your server to take it off. It was just automatically added. I happened to see it and inquired about it. And I thought, well, really, what a good idea, because, you know, we go from 3,700 to 35,000 in the summer. everybody uses the facilities in the community, what a really interesting way to raise some funds, possibly for this project. And it would be, you know, volunteer for businesses in the Boyne area. I just really liked it, and I was visiting the area and I appreciated their town, so I had no problem with that 1% added. And if I did, they'd be taking it off in a heartbeat. So I just thought it was really a interesting concept for a seasonal community to raise money, because there's, you know, a lot of people that just come visit our town and spend dollars, but it's kind of a way for them to help improve even their favorite restaurant or, you know, vacation destination.
So did you ask, that was in Door County?
It was in Door County at some small, what city was that?
It was one of those cities that had all those islands.
Right, and we were, like I said, we had breakfast and I just always read the bill because I'm always thinking, what are they charging for that? Because I'm always checking out what everybody's doing. And, you know, it was just 1%. Otherwise, I don't know that I would even notice the 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I would have just been paying this breakfast bill. So I just thought it was a really interesting way, you know, maybe, you know, you're not going to fund it all, but just a way to kind of dovetail.
So an optional local sales tax type of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that difficult to do as a business?
No, I wouldn't say no.
I mean, it's not, it doesn't require a lot of programming
your POS system. You know, your POS system, and so every day, you know, you're doing your, you know, accounting, and then you would take that aside, and there'd be a certain amount at the end of the month that you would pay to the Boyne City Fund. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure it was volunteer, because our server even said that the owner of the restaurant was heading up, and they were raising money for a community center. And that's how they were doing it. But I thought, boy, I think it's a pretty creative way, because again, I don't think that people that visit Boyne City appreciate Boyne City and they want to improve it, and I don't think that most would not object to a 1%. Yeah. So I don't know, I think it's a really, really interesting idea for a community, especially as seasonal as we are, to make the communities even better.
Yeah. No disgruntled customers, because they have the option to take it off.
Oh, most definitely. She said, if you're unhappy, I said, oh, no, I just wanted to know information, more information about it. And she would take it off in a heartbeat.
Mayor, we've talked about that in like a hotel tax, mm-hmm. because when I go on vacation, it's like huge. Yeah.
The hotel right, like the city. You go to Chicago and the city tax of Chicago.
So all the overnight rooms in Boyne City, but Cindy, you said we already are paying a regional chamber tax.
We do not. We do not. Hotels do.
The hotels.
Hotels
do.
And restaurants.
And so
I'm not
sure
about restaurants.
Hotel tax might have not been well received because they are already paying that.
That's
I didn't think of a restaurant tax.
Right,
yeah,
that's what.
And then when we see the billboards and stuff for our area, they get quite a bit of that support back to the Main Street program, so
we're seeing
some of it back in a different
right.
way.
I mean, it's a good thing. It's mm-hmm. just that there was a reluctance to ask the community, the business community, to even throw another tax on it. Mm-hmm. But maybe
but
your 1% volunteer tax is a little different.
Yeah, it was really different. It was grassroots, you know, they wanted this community center, and they were, again, in Door County, similar to Northern Michigan. It's very seasonal, and so you don't really have,
it's like
the
a lot of Little Harbor Springs or something.
Pardon?
It's like a lot of Little Harbor Springs.
You can do that.
Yeah, we could check, Mary, to see if that's an option that the state would allow us to implement.
Really, now you'd have to go to the state to find that out. I would think that in my little world, that you would just be able to go in the chamber and talk to all of, you know, send out a letter, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't work in government. You know what I mean? I would think that you would be able to just keep it local, but no.
I'm not sure. That's
okay.
Why I want to check
it
out.
Oh, so that's why you'd ask the question.
Yeah, I'm not confident with that. I think we have to have approvals from the state level, so.
Yes.
What is the worst case scenario? I mean, it sounds like this thing's heading towards an election and people are going to have to vote on it. And if they say no, we must have a plan without really getting to the fund equity thing. I mean, it's been a couple of years since, you know, this is going on.
I would personally pay the lease cost for next year for some reason going into next year. Just so you know, that's part of one of the options.
Okay,
not to interrupt the
on how far the contract is. By the end of the year, you know, you only got from the fall time till December. And if it doesn't pass, is the property going to be for sale to anybody, or how are you going to maintain rights to it?
Then we'd have to enter into negotiations and discussions with the property owners to see what the next steps are. They, you know, obviously depending on what the count, what the results of the election were, if it was close, what the feedback you received on the election. I mean, there's a lot of variables in there that we don't know and hopefully won't have
to count on. I said you're assuming the worst, that it won't pass the millage.
Yes, I understand that.
And, I mean, is it going to, you just can't let it die.
Well, if the worst case scenario happens, let's say that's the route that we decide to go down and we don't have the funding for it, we're faced with that through the election that we don't have the funding for it. I can't magically make, or the city commission can't magically make money appear or else we wouldn't be asking for the vote in the first place.
I understand that, but it seems like in the very beginning, there should have been a concrete plan. I mean, you know you're going to pay for something, or it's for sale, yes, we're going to buy it, but we don't know how we're going to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, again, let's go back to where this started. Back before 2015, nobody knew that this property would actually become available to the city. You know, the previous property owner really didn't have any intention or any desire that I'm aware of to try and deal with the city and do anything other than the private development that he was looking at.
He didn't care for the city.
I'm not going to try and put words in their mouth.
Right.
But the city didn't have an option there. Then Mr. Dow and Mr. Grove basically turned the tables on this whole thing, and they were able to acquire the property. And basically, since that time, we've been looking to find a way to make this work. So I can't say that, you know, yeah, it has been a couple of years on it. But we didn't know until the spring that we'd have even have the grant from the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. If that $1.5 million wasn't out there, we'd be having a whole different discussion.
Yeah, just for the record, congratulations to whoever was involved with getting that fund. That was a great success for the city.
It was a team effort. Mm-hmm. And again, hopefully the appraisal will come back and that'll come down. But unfortunately, I don't have a plan B for you to say that if our plan A fails, what's our backup plan? I wish I did have one. If we did, it'd probably become plan A in the first place.
I think, Mark, that timeline, as soon as it became an option for us, is when we started the wheels turning to start looking for grants. And last April 1st is when we applied for that grant. So the 2 years have been, let's do this.
I know that, but I just want to, get down to the very end where you're going to the well, the people, come up with the money. And all of a sudden, if they do say no, for whatever reason, you get to see the property go back, and you don't have a chance to really buy it.
I think their goal is to, one, they want to see it end up in the city's hands. They think we're going to be the best. Yeah, thank you for that word. Good stewards of the property over the long term. They'll have local control over it, local control with the caveats of the conservation on top of its framing parameters with regards to it. So for some reason that if we did go to a vote in November and it failed, what do we do in the next 2 months? I think we'd be working very closely with them, and I think it'd probably either give us some more time to come up with another plan.
Right, that's what I was asking. I mean, what would be
all our conversations with them have been very cordial, professional but cordial. But again, they're not looking to, their gift to the community is basically giving us this opportunity.
I just don't want it to get out of where you don't have an opportunity to end up with it.
Yeah.
At the end of December, well, we're selling to whoever we want now. Market's open.
I think they'll continue to work with us, and we'd have to learn if whatever funding mechanism we ultimately come up with didn't work out, we'd have to.
Because I think it would be important for the voters to know that, it's either do or die, but there is another plan.
Well, then you're sending mixed messages to the voters. I mean, you take your best, hopefully we're having a community discussion to figure out what the best avenue is to put a plan together that the community is going to support and get that out there. And find out, basically, how real is this desire that we keep hearing that we want to acquire waterfront properties? And basically, turn it back to them and say yes or no.
Yeah, time getting short between now and the end of the year.
Isn't the bigger concern on a time constraint what the trust fund is going to give you as a timeline to trigger this?
No. We have 3 to 5 years. Okay. So I don't think we have any concerns with them with regards to that. If something, our time frame, we have probably at least 2 years easy after the December 31st, 2017 timeline with the state. And if they knew we were working on something and getting close, I don't think they'd change it. So, Chris.
I have a couple of questions. Under B, you cite that, and I think it's dated March 14th, you cite that the 16.83 city total for 2017 with the 1.3 facilities debt, wouldn't that just raise to 2.3 after the day of the memo that it was cut?
That's for the debt for this.
Yeah, this facilities, city facilities debt millage.
Yes.
In this article is 1.3, but it's been raised to 2.3 for the coming year, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And it should be corrected.
So I'm just pointing that out so it doesn't get lost in the math here. And, then the second thing I wanted to ask is, given the mixed emotions that are out there regarding, another public vote on it, I think it'd be prudent to explore a land contract option. I think Mike has a good idea in whether or not the trust fund, if it's a cold no, then fine, I understand it. But if the trust fund is about acquiring and purchasing property, right? And a land contract is just another measure or another means to purchase, because at the time of closing of the land contract, whether it's 1 year, 3 year, 10 year, 30 year, the title transfers at that point, and the person that's holding the note becomes the lien holder. Okay, and so realistically, if we were to enter into a purchase or into a purchase agreement that resulted in a land contract, the tax burden essentially would be alleviated because the city would be recorded as the owner. I mean, I'm going on a little bit of a limb here, but because the city is an owner, it doesn't pay taxes, because the title would transfer, because the owners would become lien holders against the city in that respect. So maybe there's a way that for every real dollar that we can raise and put against the balance or the principal that's owed, then the DNR trust fund would release 75% of whatever we pay as a way until we get to the 1.5 or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just spitballing for ideas here, but I think that the land contract option, I guess what I'm saying is I'd hate to see you go to the voters and get a resounding no, and to Mark's point, then come back and go, okay, fine, let's try a land contract, when the voters have already said no from the other end of that. Whereas if you put the terms of a land contract together and say, okay, well, here's an opportunity for a land contract, unless you guys want to take a vote on this thing and throw a millage your way, you know what I mean? Because if the land contract option is out there and reasonable, it might be worth pursuing that prior to trying to apply another millage or additional millage or anything like that. I mean, just trying to get outside the box a little bit and make this a little more palatable. Because we're on the heels of, we're coming into the second year of a 20-year millage, to go for another millage that could, extend from 10 to 30 years is, I don't know how well that's going to go. I mean, I get the purpose. I'm not opposed to picking up the waterfront. I'm just saying I think that this city's known for its resilience and its creativity, and I think that, if we can explore anything but a tax mill for this thing, I think that would be the prudent way to go in the current time, myself. So,
Mike, if we entered a land contract with either the owners or if we took out a mortgage with a bank, so we all owe so much per year on the balance after the 74%. Am I reading that right? So we'd be borrowing difference on a land contract. Well, we'd be signing a land contract or borrowing money from a bank, a mortgage payment. My point is that revenue that we'd have to pay would have to come out of fund equity.
I guess I'm not understanding your question.
Where would the money come from to pay the land contract?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Right. Trying to say.
Or a mortgage.
Where would the money come from? Exactly what you said.
You would have to come up with the money out of it. Either you would provide a new revenue source, which could be a millage or something of that nature, or you'd have to budget it like any other expense out of this city's operating budget.
So,
which would basically, that'd give you the advantage of being able to spread it over time. And that's where we did the, that's where we did the analysis, and we're looking at, okay, did an amortization schedule, and looking at payments over 20 or 15 years and looking what could be, how much would you have to come up with?
So it would be $100,000 a year or whatever for
correct.
So many years, yeah.
Yeah. And so we have to, as you said, plan that into as an expense for the next 15, 20 years out of our 15.51 mils that we currently
correct.
Correct. So
15.51 or something of that nature. Yep.
I mean, that's a great plan, but it does limit us because you're taking that much more out of the fund equity, so you don't have that money as a savings account to react to things that we need immediately or plan ahead. You know, we've done so well, 50 cents on the dollar or 30 cents on the dollar, because we've had been very prudent, saved up a lot of money, and we're able to go for a lot of grants. So that may hinder us, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, we've looked at options where, you know, we've contacted local banks to see if they'd be interested in doing a loan for us with regards to it. And we had some preliminary discussions with regards to land contracts as well, too, just to see if there's other funding options. But then the flip side we have to check into is to see exactly what the state will allow us to do with regards to that. Their ultimate goal is to make sure that property stays in the public hands no matter what.
And I think if you have the land contractor has some kind of a mortgage or something, you would be the owner, you know, with the eyes in the state. You know, so.
I know you would. You generally are considered that if you take out a conventional mortgage.
Right.
I bought my first home on a land contract, and I didn't get the deed until I actually paid my balloon payment off, which was 10 or 15 years into it. So up until that time, I was not the owner.
Well, it'd be no different than a conventional mortgage. I mean, yeah, I get the deed, but the bank still holds the lien against the deed if I have a default. So, I mean, it's in a land contract, the same would apply. Because what we're seeing right now is a way to, some of the investors are selling their rental units or their rental properties to their tenants on land contracts so that the tenants can convert them into personal, to get 100% PRE, to get they don't want to pay the non-PRE tax on it anymore. So they'll sell it to the tenant that's in there on the land contract because they can record the tenant as the owner but still hold the note. So if the tenant defaults, then they can go through the process again.
Yeah.
So
those are options we'll be exploring as well, too.
I think I'm asking a question for which there's no answer. But I'm wondering if, you know, we were talking about a millage, and the possibility there could be a little bit of fatigue over millages because of what it was. Is that a function of any millage, or is it a function of the size of the millage? In other words, if we get better than the best case, the worst case scenario, so that the ask can be relatively small. In other words, take a little bit out of the fund balance, maybe find another source for the millage request, but it's the 3/4 of a mil, again, these are all hypothetical.
Yep.
If it's closer to a half or a quarter, would that make a significant difference in how our residents perceive that request? Yeah, I'm not sure I'm looking for an answer, but just sort of.
I think anytime you pay less for something, it's better. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it easier. But just whether there's overall fatigue or what, as you mentioned, I don't know if there is or not. I mean, I keep hearing that there are statements like that out there, but then you generally you look at what happens when the voters go to the polls, and generally people can make a good case things get approved. So what I hear and what I see are not always connected.
It'd be interesting to know what the fatigue parameter is.
Yeah, what time is it?
Whether it's a half a mil or whether it's 0.45 or 0.40 or 0.35 or,
well, and
or
again,
anything over a half a mil.
Chris, we don't want to find out on August 15th. No, that's why we're starting these discussions
now.
Yeah, you know, to start taking a pulse on it.
Well, okay, so just spitballing other ideas here. What if you got another entity to secure the difference in the 26%, right? I mean, let's say hypothetically that the appraisal comes in or the owners agree to sell to you for whatever the appraised value is, just so we can get the semantics out of the way of what happens if there's a difference or whatever, okay? So let's say we come to terms that the appraised value is the purchase price. So if the Michigan DNR Trust Fund is gonna give you 74%, what if there's another entity out there, and I'm spitballing, I'm not speaking for anybody, not Chautauqua County, not the Community Foundation, but
yeah, you think of that entity.
any of those entities, no, but what I'm saying is, what if any of those entities were to guarantee the 26%, if the city was to say, okay, we're going to take this payment on for 10 years or 15 years, or because at that point, you're only at 26%, right? So at 800,000 and 100,000 a year, you know, it, with little to no interest, you're talking about 10 years to pay it off.
Yeah.
And 100,000 a year, or something along those lines. You know, and I'm not saying, I don't especially have the answer to that, Mike. I'm merely just throwing that out there.
I think that'd be something that we should really explore.
We explore as our entire.
I mean, we've done something similar to that with internal loans to the organization.
Right.
You know, when Main Street had to borrow money for one of our downtown projects, we borrowed it from our
wastewater
fund. And basically, we were able to get them a better return on money that they had to have sitting in the bank anyway than they were getting on the bank.
Right.
And saved a whole bunch of money that rather than going out and bonding it, that type of stuff. So that's an internal example of it. We don't have that ability to do that for these types of dollars now. We basically spent those funds down. But if there's another outside organization that do something like that, I think it'd be worth exploring. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a comment too about a worst case scenario being 1.7 million. That's not very bad that the community is getting 3.4 acres of lakefront property for 1.7 million and somebody else is paying 2.3 or whatever million dollars for
right.
it. I mean, I think we need to frame the discussion maybe a little bit differently, that we're making an investment in the future for the community to have forever.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good price.
And that's an excellent
price.
Excellent
price. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing price, yeah.
26 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Good point. I like it. I like that approach.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Again, and I think that's a really good thing to probably should have framed the discussion with regards to that initial use. I mean, we're looking at not one of once in a lifetime opportunity. This is a very infrequent opportunity that's coming before it.
Well, it will never come to going again. If that was gone, it would be gone forever to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing else open like that on the waterfront that we're aware of. Unless the landings comes up for sale at some point.
And I think too about the millage fatigue. I mean, the school, school pass, the city pass, the recreational millage pass, senior millages have passed. You know, I can't think of a millage that's gone down in recent years.
And I think what really helps those types of scenarios out is when. And I use the road millage as an example of that, where people can actually see the benefit for what they're getting, and they know it's going where they say it, where it's pledged to go to. And I think one of the things that helped us with regards to the city facilities millage was, people can correct me if I'm wrong, hopefully people saw that we are a good steward of the city's money, and the taxpayers' money, I should say, and that we've leveraged it, as the mayor was saying, you know, with all the grants and things that we're out. Here's another excellent opportunity where we are leveraging it, you know, at least getting, you know, 1.5 million out of lowering the price by that.
So. I can see that. I think what I hear in the community is that people are starting to be concerned about how much the taxes are overall in Boone City compared to other communities. So maybe the project will make Boone City tremendous, but I think we have to be careful that we price ourselves out of other people buying homes.
And that's something that the commission has discussed and that we were very sensitive to as well, too. And that's why we're trying to look at all the options, have this discussion. I mean, we have a couple things that have come to the table that, you know, would be worth us exploring as we're, you know, continuing to fine-tune this and go forward. I mean, this isn't a fait accompli. We're here to actually have an honest conversation with people and figure out, okay, what's the best way to one, do we want to accomplish this goal? And I believe the answer to that from the community is yes. I mean, just the feedback we've got from when the fence came down and people are enjoying that benefit that they're having now, we just have to make sure that they don't forget that it's just a temporary benefit that we have now, and we're looking to make it permanent and long term. Yes?
One more.
If you want.
When you have your meadows, and that's coming down the pipe too.
What is that?
Deer Meadows up there.
The housing commission's up.
Is that going to have to go before the city too on a vote?
Or how you say before the city?
How can it be funded?
No, that will not require any city funding from that. the housing develop, the
house. Again, it's going back to asking the people of Point City how much, you know, they're gonna wanna, you know, keep on paying.
Yeah, that would not require any going to the public or asking for public support to do that project. Again, that's being done by the Boyne City Housing Commission. A lot of people confuse that and think that's a direct part of the city. It isn't.
Right. Well,
they have their own budget. We don't even approve their budget or anything of that nature.
You have to get the people of Boyne City to understand all this.
I know, and that's, again, why we need to get these things out. There's never been a proposal that I've heard of or even contemplated where we'd be going to the people and saying, okay, here's a housing development and we're looking to have you pay for it somehow.
Yeah, again, the perception.
Yeah. Again, if there's a rumor out there, then we need to knock that one down. Yeah.
Just for what it's worth.
Yep, good to know. I hadn't heard that one yet. Other questions or comments? I've kind of gone through everything that I had on my summary sheet. Hopefully it's been some information to you. I did have a list of the next steps that are on there on page 3, and they are, there's all sorts of things that need to be done going forward, coming up with the ideas here on the local tax option or a land contract or things of that nature are further discussions that we'll need to have.
One more
yes,
last question.
Please.
You mentioned that there was two areas where there was some environmental issues identified, but we're not concerned about any sort of major cleanup costs for that.
It was 6 inches down and
correct.
Down or whatever.
Okay, so it's nothing.
Again, we still have to review this more thoroughly. That's my initial impression with regards to it.
Okay.
We might have some impacts as to where things are located on the sites, or you have to do ground cover. There may be some soils that need to be removed or remediated or some type of screening on that.
Okay.
But that's usually a good point relative to the appraisal, though, because it
true.
Clearly limits what can be done on the property without costing a great deal of money to take care of the brownfield problems.
The DEQ has been very good the community since I've been here with regards to helping with community cleanups. There's the property that the city owns on the bank of the river, on the Boyne River off of Spring Street, where they came and cleaned up some environmental issues there without any charge to the property owner, which was the city. Next to the manufactured housing community on Lake Street, there's the old chemical factory site, basically kind of kitty corner from the main boat launch. The state came in a few years ago and cleaned that up at no cost to the property owners. They have some programs available like that. I'm not saying that anything would even be necessary, but that'd be obviously one of the first places we'd look. And especially if that's going to be used as a public park or a public recreation area, I would assume that they've got some tools to help us with that at some point in the future.
Well,
right.
One last comment. I guess to somehow get out there and get into positive, like I'm with you, somehow frame it in the community that, boy, this is a really great opportunity,
right.
And get them emotionally behind the program so that the community can embrace it. I don't think it's that big of a nut to crack. And I kind of agree with everybody. I think millage and raising taxes, it'd be nice to explore all the other resources before you go down those roads. But I think, you know, I don't know how terrible it would be to, you know, do we have a few dollars to spend on an advertisement campaign a little bit just around town, like even just grassroots, you know, and get the word out there that, you know, we're getting a grant of this much and kind of make it concise and easy for people to comprehend the whole idea of it. Because as small town goes, it's, you know, lots of different stories, no
yep.
matter what circle you're in, and somehow get the facts out there. You know, the newspaper, people don't really read the newspaper anymore. I don't know how many hits you get on your website, but somehow get a little campaign going. I don't know. It's just an idea.
I think you would be a good chair for that, Mary, because it would be difficult for the city. I don't think this.
We're not doing any chairs tonight, are we?
I don't think the city could fund a millage like that or spend advertising dollars for a millage unless it was an independent organization.
Well, I wasn't even thinking millage. I was thinking that you do that to get funds other ways somehow. You know what
oh,
I mean? I
oh,
guess
I see.
Explore other opportunities, not to tie it with taxes or millage or anything.
Okay.
It's just somehow get fundraising at a grassroots level to start, you know, and maybe you don't do a 10-year land contract. You can do something more, you know, and couple it with these other ideas
yep.
that you have. Not that would be the sole source of the income for this purchase, but get the facts out there, because it really is a great opportunity at 1.7 is the worst case scenario.
I
got a question. Is there anyone in the room has any experience with GoFundMe.com?
I know what it is, but no.
I've sent money to it.
I don't think, like a city, you have to be like a 501c3 to use GoFundMe, or a private person.
Right. Not a city.
So not a city, but that's where that patronicity can come in. That's just one. That does allow for cities or groups that don't have 501c3 or just an individual to.
So a private citizen could potentially do it on behalf of, well, with that intent.
But there would
raising
be,
money that would be given to the city or something.
They could, but there would be no legal guarantee that the money is turned over to the city. And it would also, the people would likely have to pay taxes on it.
They'd have to do what?
Pay taxes on it.
All the hosting costs.
And
the fees are high. Not for patronicity, but GoFundMe.
Yeah, patronicity allows like cities or other groups that don't fall into GoFundMe to do that, and that's where that $50,000 match from the state becomes available.
Along that lines, though, what do you feel is the flavor of the community as far as finding some people that are as passionate as Mr. Grove and Mr. Dow have been that would privately fund this somehow, some way? And, you know, that's a tough question. You can't go out and ask people that, hey, would you like to give $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever, or $10,000? I mean, how do you tactfully approach that? That's kind of what crowdfunding does. But how do we, are there people out there that are as passionate that would contribute to that? I don't know.
Right, they need a big tax deduction.
Yeah.
And then maybe do something like stepping stones with their name on it, and, you know, or name the park after a particular individual, or
it's not going to be called whatever. Dow's Grove.
Well, maybe if they funded the, they donated the balance, maybe.
Oh, but the naming rights, there you go.
Are there going to be any improvements on the property? I mean, there must be some kind of plan that you have as far as like landscaping, or is it going to stay open, or?
The general vision is to have it basically remain open. There will be some, there have been no final plans created on that. That's another fundable part that we can have for development.
But there is, Mark, once, you know, that once ownership came to the city, then the easement takes place, which means no structures.
Well, I say, how long would it take to do something? I mean, you just gotta let it set the way.
I know.
It is.
I know, because, you know, you want nice grass, you want a nice beach, you want some bike paths.
Asphalt or something.
Yeah.
You want people to enjoy it as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot easier to do once it's city-owned property. I mean, again, some of that work could be done by our DPW crews. I got prices from Andy, and I don't recall what they were like removing the south lot. I remember you worked up some numbers on that last year. Those types of things, and we kind of talked about this a little bit briefly at the open space when we were there, those types of improvements, once we own the property, you can kind of fund out of our existing revenue stream.
Yeah, because it's been sitting there like that for so long, we're kind of used to it now. Mm-hmm. And you just want to make it keep on looking like that.
No.
Yeah, take pride in ownership, I guess.
Well, I think the city's, you know, over the last 15 years or so, we've done a real good job with regards to, you know, slowly upgrading all of our parks. I mean, Old City Park, I mean, if you remember what that used to look like at the end of the summer when it was all dried out in the ground. Or, you know, basically any of our parks, you know, Sunset Park, around the Chamber Building, they were all just burned out before we started putting sprinklers in and started investing a little bit more into lawn care.
Yeah, there's low cost, no cost. Whoever maintains those gardens, whatever that group is, they do such an incredibly good job, even having a raised garden along the way, you know, with some plants, like you said, a hose or something, just aesthetically would be a nice feature, and pretty low maintenance if. Yeah.
No, it's so much better than it was when we first acquired it, but I think, you know, it's not where any of us want it to be.
That was a good point, though, in terms of it's not an eyesore, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, but with the tourists coming and everything, yeah, anything to spruce it up a little bit for this high season, you know, was just a bad thing, I guess.
I've gone through the materials that I had. I don't know if there's any other discussion points the commission or the public wanted to bring up. I'm assuming this will be the first of several meetings we'll be having on this subject as the months go forward and we get closer to some type of decision part.
I should probably address the timeline of the appraisal. The RFPs are out. The date that they have to be returned is set. However, awarding the contract, we have to kind of go with, through the state as well. If we want it to be reimbursable through the grant, if we're willing to take that cost on knowing we are not going to get reimbursed, we can do it any time.
Okay.
If we want to get reimbursed through the grant, we have to work through the state. And
you know the time frame on that?
Because we don't have a grant agreement, because Lansing is still trying to figure out what they're going to do and has not signed that into legislation yet, I don't know if the state will allow us to enter into a contract without a grant agreement in place. So Patrick and I have made a call. We're waiting to hear back.
So they're due back the 24th?
Correct, but we might not be able to award the contract if we want it to be the funds
reimbursable.
To be reimbursable by the grant.
What would be an estimated cost?
I don't know.
Well, we did one before.
There's a couple $1,000.
How much?
$2,000.
Yeah.
When slow things down.
Yeah. When
I think that's an assessment. Yeah. I generally agree with your assessment. We'll have to see what the final numbers are and see if that's worth buying that time.
Wasn't there some deadline to get it on the ballot though, and there's months that it takes for the appraisal, and we need to meet that August deadline?
Yes.
To August get it on the ballot? And there was a backlog for commercial appraisals?
So we've heard. We don't know that yet. We'll have a better idea when they're...
Yeah, once the bids come in, we'll have those discussions with the appraisers and see what their time frame
is. So it might be on Tuesday's agenda?
That is possible. At the very least, we can let you know what the results are and have some further discussion about it. Hopefully we'll have found out, got some feedback from the state at that point. It's all interlocking.
Well, we appreciate your input, and we have some homework to do, because you gave us some new ideas to explore. We have some timelines, we have the appraisal, and we have to have this conversation continue with the community. So,
looking forward to the celebration of the success after we finish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Okay.
Anything else?
Need a motion to adjourn?
If there's nothing else, I don't think we... Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.